Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tony, hour two. Let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to two on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thus.com, a radio.com sports station.
All right, so hour two of the program, Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock today. So I texted AB. I got a text from AB saying that he's trying to get a new phone, like right now. So I don't know how this is going to work. So I texted him the secret line to see if he can call in on someone else's phone. But you know how it is when you go to the phone store, you're going to be in it for forever. So I'm not sure what we do here. I mean, there's other stuff that we can do in place of this, but I was promoting that Alex Brown's going to be on and he's getting another phone. So we have no way of contacting him, but the text did go through.
Does this new phone have a bigger clock on it?
Maybe. He texted before. Like, he texted at like 12:54 and was like, I'm getting a new phone. Hopefully it'll work out. Well, yeah, but
I mean, to his credit, like, in theory, hey, I want a new phone. Okay, let's get you a new phone. Do you have money? I do have money. Yes, thank you for my new phone. Hi, Lawrence. In theory, it should work, but they take forever.
But it never works like that. Yeah. It's why I still have an iPhone 6.
They want to know, like, all right, what's your father's mother's maiden name?
Right.
Let's set up all seven security questions right now.
Yeah, let's do all of that stuff right now. And would you also like an extra iPad? I've been made fun of in my own home because I haven't upgraded phones yet. And it's because of this. It's because of, well, am I going to lose all of my contacts? I know that they're somewhere in the cloud. New phone, who dis? Like, that's an actual thing for me.
Do you feel bad when you have to text new phone, who dis?
Yes, I feel awful. And you know what makes me feel awful and a little bit old?
It's a small flex, though.
Well, here, not for me, because, I mean, I haven't gotten a new phone in 3 years. But where I feel really awful is when I know it's someone who I put in my contacts. Like, I'm pretty sure I stored you in my contacts months ago. And yet, I don't have your number. And now I feel bad because you're texting me like we're in the middle of a conversation. And I'm like, who this?
I had to come clean one time. I was like pretending like I knew who the person was. And then they were like asking for like specific details. And I had no clue. I was like, hey, fam, I don't know who this is. I'm sorry. Could you explain to me?
Can you explain to me why we're having this conversation? Yeah. All right. So Alex apparently got a new phone. You can watch Alex on the Football After Show along with me and Lance Briggs and Olin Krutz and Matt Forte. He joins me now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from. It's your boy, AB. Hello, Alex.
What's up, baby? How you doing?
Did you get a new phone?
I did. I did get a new phone. It's not a new phone like the one they were just talking about. So I let them go to... They'll come out with two new phones, and the one that they're going away from, I'll go to that one. And so I kind of stay behind the curve a little bit till all the wrinkles get ironed out.
And so you go with the generation before just because that one seemingly works?
Correct. Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it does to me, you know.
How you doing otherwise?
I'm good. I feel... After watching Denver play the other night, I feel pretty good.
All right, so what makes you feel good after watching Denver struggle against Oakland?
Well, because Flacco is Flacco. He doesn't move in the pocket. And against a defense or the defense that we have, yeah, that's not good to have zero mobility. So, I mean, we got to Aaron Rodgers five times, and Aaron is a very mobile quarterback. I think we might get 10 sacks in this game.
10.
I'm assuming we can put him in position to have to throw it. So you got to stop the run. If we can stop the run, then I think they found trouble last week running the football throughout that whole game. Leading up to the end of the game, they started running a little bit better. But, if you can stop the run, you can put them in a position where they got to throw it. And, yeah, you can definitely get after the quarterback and against this offensive line.
How many games did you play in Denver?
One. It wasn't good, though.
No, I remember. Ooh. I remember that one. I didn't know if there were any more than that. My question was, is the altitude stuff real or imagined?
Oh, it's definitely real. It is definitely real. We were, after the game we played, I want to say it was 04. After the game we played over there, an hour and a half after the game, pretty much everybody is showered, dressed, getting on the bus, ready to get out of there. You still had people laying down just trying to breathe. Like, it was, your lungs are burning. I was dying. I was in trouble. So I'd never played out there ever, and I thought it was one of those, I hear everybody talking about it. It's not really that big a deal. But when you have to actually take a deep breath to get the same amount of oxygen as you're doing right now, how you're breathing, you have to take a deep breath to get that same amount of oxygen, your lungs just get tired. And if you're on the field, I'm telling you, if our defense goes out there and we're forced to play 65, 70 plays, you'll see the effect. It'll be bad. It won't be good. We'll have some guys dragging along out there. It'll be bad.
Well, that makes me think back to last year, AB, the game in Miami, because it's also supposed to be 92 degrees in Denver on Sunday and sunny, where we were watching that game and you guys kind of pointed out to me, you can see that the Bears were tiring as Brock Osweiler is having them go sideline to sideline because he wasn't going vertical, he was going horizontal. So that goes into my thinking about this game and gives me a little bit of a concern for the Bears.
Well, I think what we have to understand is that, if I'm not mistaken, that Miami game was later in the season, correct?
I think it was about midway through, right? Maybe a little bit after midway through.
Okay, so that puts us into November. That's a huge change from November in Chicago to 91 degrees is a huge change. September in Chicago isn't as big a change. So I don't think the heat will play as big a difference or as big a hurdle. It won't be as big a hurdle as the actual oxygen, just breathing there. It will play some, but not as much because I don't think you're going as drastic because if it's 50 degrees here and your body starts to get like accustomed to that, then going to 90 degrees just kind of kills you. So, but if you're going from 78 to 90, it's not as big.
Okay. All right. So you've looked at the tape of the Bears offense last week. What mm-hmm. bothered you about the way they played?
Everything. The timing, everything was off. The timing was off. The fact that I continue to hear that the preseason didn't matter. I assume, from what I hear, it's we'd have played this bad if we played in the preseason anyway, and I just don't buy that. I think reps on offense, on defense, and I know I've gotten this thrown at me a couple times. Well, Khalil Mack didn't play at all in the preseason last year. The defense didn't play, and they looked pretty darn good. Well, on defense, I mean, yeah, there is some structure, and there is some technique involved. But for the most part, it's just aggressiveness. Just go knock the hell out of somebody. And that is – you don't need reps for that. You don't need timing for that. When a receiver comes out of his break and the quarterback has to throw the ball on time, you need timing for that. Now, that timing is different than practice. I don't care who you're practicing against. It's not live. Mitch isn't actually getting hit at practice. Or he doesn't, in his mind, the thought of being hit isn't there. The thought of being hit is there in a game. The thought of being hit when a receiver jumps up to catch the ball He's there in the game. It's not there at practice. So to think that practice can be simulated, I'm sorry, the game can be simulated at practice, I think it's crazy because you can't. You just can't do it. It's not the same.
So do you think that's why we saw the run game in particular not be very fruitful? That coupled with the fact that, you know, they didn't really run the ball at all in the second half.
Well, I think that was the problem. We just didn't run the ball. We didn't give any running back any opportunity to get any type of feel in the game. I think Montgomery had the most carries with 6. You spent a third-round pick, and you give the kid the ball 6 times. I don't know. That's kind of crazy to me. But in actuality, I mean, you look at what we did with a 2-time Pro Bowl running back last year in Jordan Howard. Although he didn't fit the system as far as passing, we didn't run him either. So the running back in this particular system almost seems like they're not needed at times. I mean, I've gone back and I looked at the game. I've watched the game. And you look at this game, and at no point are we ever one possession away. Like, we're never 2 possessions away. But the balance is just not there. We're throwing the ball. We threw the ball 45 times or 46 times. We ran the ball, called run plays 12 times. That's way out of balance. And either you put it all on Nagy, or maybe he saw something and we just weren't connecting, because there were some plays that I thought Mitch could have connected on. Now, there were some tough balls to catch. The ball that Taylor Gabriel missed, I thought it wasn't a best pass, but he's a professional receiver. He can come down with that ball. I'm pretty sure if you talk to him, he'd say, I got to come down with that ball. So the other balls, some of them were out of bounds. Some of them were overthrown. It's just the timing for Mitch in a live situation, I think, would have helped them tremendously. But the run game, you can't really fault the run game if you don't run the ball. So you don't know if you could have ran it. I think we will have to run the ball this week, because they have some animals that can get after the quarterback. If you get in third and long, second and long, we're going to have to run screens. We're going to have to run some short stuff to kind of tire them out a little bit. And then we might be able to get into some 5-step. But I'd keep Mitch out of 5-step drops if I was Coach Nagy.
In the last 2 games that Matt Nagy has called, Tariq Cohen has seemed to gone missing in his offensive game plan. Am I crazy that guy needs to have more touches, specifically in the run game?
Man, where are you going to run him? If I'm going to run between it, and everybody knows I love Tariq, right? If I got my choice, I mean, I want to run between the tackles. If I'm running between the tackles, I want Montgomery running between the tackles. Can Tariq do it? Yeah, I think he can do it. And I think you'd actually surprise the defense by doing it. But for the most part, you're going to try to get Tariq in situations where he's one-on-one with a linebacker. If you're running the ball, you're going to try to get him on the edge so he can exploit a defense that way with his speed. So you don't really want him running between the tackles. So if that's being that they only ran the ball 12 times, I don't really see in this pass game where there was an actual opportunity for him. I think they will change that, and we'll see a more balanced offense this week. But I think that comes with the type of defense we're playing, because we need to. If we get back there and we throw the ball 45 times, Von Miller is going to get home. Chubb is going to get home. These guys are elite pass rushers, and they can beat our offensive line, absolutely.
When you look at what Mitchell Trubisky did in that game, and I know that you've got the file on every game that he's played, but what concerns you the most in the way that he played against Green Bay?
I think it's the same thing. I see the same stuff. That's what bothers me. Whether it's staring down a receiver, whether it's overthrowing an open receiver, do all quarterbacks do it? Yeah, you see it every now and then. Just when it is the one thing you're looking at is accuracy. I didn't see the accuracy that I've hoped for since he was drafted. What we've been told since he was drafted. What we were told throughout training camp is that he's taken a step forward, that he is improving, that he has a handle on the offense, and we didn't see that. I didn't see a handle on the offense. I saw a kid that in the huddle, he made a decision on where he was going to go, and that's who he was throwing it to. When that guy wasn't open, he took off, or he got sacked, or like that's go through your progressions. If the 1-2 isn't there, you got to check down. Check the ball down. There's always a check down somewhere. Or if you have to use your feet, fortunately for him, he can use his legs and get some yards. But I want to see him go through his progression. If it's on the play, I really want to say this, that on the interception to Amos, the receiver, I think it was Allen Robinson, right?
Yes.
So Allen Robinson was going to be open. If Mitch drops straight back and keeps his eyes down the field or to the opposite side, Allen Robinson is wide open. Was it a great ball? Yes. I go back and look at the film, and I understand what Mitch is saying as far as the ball came out good for him. The ball did. It was a great ball. I think it would have been a touchdown. But he stared the guy down. Now he's putting all this stuff together. You have to do, if he has to do four or five things within a play, he's doing four of them. But the fifth one that he's not doing, it caused the interception, you know, because he stared the guy down. I mean, it's just like this stuff. He has to put it together. If not, we're going to see a lot of really close games, and we're going to come out on the short end of them. Now, if he can put it together, we can see this team really take off and be that one of the top teams in the NFC, because I think there's a lot of really good teams in the NFC. But I think they can absolutely compete and beat anybody in the NFC. But the quarterback position is the question mark.
Doesn't it feel like this is a must-win for the Bears?
I mean, if you look at history, I mean, I don't think this team, or I don't think any team is bound by history. So if you go 0-2 all year, this percentage of not making the playoffs, I think this right here is a must-win simply because of the division they're playing in. Minnesota Vikings are good. The Green Bay Packers are good. Detroit, I don't think, is going to be the old Detroit. I think this division is going to be won by a team that's 10-6 because they're going to beat each other up. That's what I think. So this last game, even though I hear everybody saying it, well, this is just one of 16 games. Yes, so was the Miami game last year. That was just one of 16. So was the Green Bay game that Fuller dropped the interception. But had we won that game, we don't play Philly in the playoffs. So you can't take these games lightly, and not that they do, but there's a certain amount of importance you have to put on these games, and you want to win everyone. You need to win, especially the games you should win. And this Green Bay absolutely should have won. So, I mean, you're past it now. Now you're at Denver. And to answer your question, second week of the season, it shouldn't be a must-win, but yes, this is a must-win.
AB, a bunch of your former teammates have advanced in the Hall of Fame balloting, man.
No, what? Oh, my God.
Olin, yes. Lance, yes. Thomas Jones, like they've all yes. advanced in this yes. thing.
Listen, I think that gives that when you go out and you see fans throughout and they want to compare the teams, they want to compare this team, they want to compare the 85 team, and they want to compare our team to this team, and it's, I think this right here gives that credibility to our team that we had a lot of guys that are going to be in the Hall of Fame on that team. Now, until these guys prove that, there are some guys, I mean, I think if they continue down the road they're going, you got a couple of them that could very well end up in that conversation when it's all said and done. But Olin, Fort Briggs, you got Thomas Jones, like Urlacher's already in. Peanut's gonna, as soon as his 5 year hit, he's gonna be up.
Hester,
there's so many guys that Hester. Oh my gosh, Hester! I think Hester's a shoe-in. He has to go. But like it says so much about that team and the amount of talent we had on that team. And in the same breath, it also breaks your heart. It breaks my heart because we weren't able to finish the deal and seal the greatness of that team by winning the Super Bowl.
AB, I'll see you Sunday. I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure you'll be looking cleaner than the Board of Health. So,
I will.
good luck with the new phone. I'll see you then.
Thanks, my man. All right, Lawrence.
That's Alex Brown. You can see him on the Football After Show on NBC Sports Chicago immediately after the game goes 0-0. It's a great cast and crew. And if you'd like to congratulate Lance Briggs tonight because he advanced, he's not in the Hall of Fame, but he advanced. You know, they have like an original list, then they start paring the list down. Briggs is advanced on the Hall of Fame voting list. So is Olin Krutz. So is Thomas Jones. 55 is going to be with Joe Ostrowski tonight at Cortland's Garage in Arlington Heights. Lance will be there from 7 until 8:30. Joe's doing the show from after the Cubs game until 10 o'clock. It's a good time. They do a good show for the Miller Lite Top Draft Show. Congratulations, by the way, to those guys in advancing, even if it doesn't go any farther than this. But congratulations to Olin Krutz and Lance Briggs and Thomas Jones. Thomas was, if you don't follow Thomas on Instagram or on Twitter, you should. He was over the moon at that, which it makes me laugh because I joke with him all the time that now on Wikipedia, it's Thomas Jones is an American actor, even though he went for, what, 12,000 yards in the NFL. But he was really excited about it, and I'm excited for those guys. To even just to get to this point is pretty awesome. I got some media stuff that I want to do, some baseball and media stuff I want to do, and I'm going to do it next here on The Score. So there's a couple of breaking news items. They're not huge, but they do need to be discussed. One, the Chicago Fire made it official. They are going to start playing their games at Soldier Field next year. So we'll keep the Soldier Field turf in our prayers, our thoughts and prayers next year. I'm happy as someone who loves the men in red that I'll get the opportunity to be able to see them more easily and probably more frequently. So there's that. The other breaking news is earth-shattering. And to tell you the truth, it's a little bit heartbreaking for me. Albert Almora cut his hair. Fam, what are you doing? We had this discussion. The lettuce is majestic. Don't cut the lettuce.
Maybe it had something to do with, you know, the way he was playing. He's like, you know what? Let me just start over.
Sure. I'm okay with that. If you feel, I do that occasionally too, where you're just having a bad day and you're just like, oh, I'll just strip off everything and I'll start all over. So maybe that's what he's doing. A couple notes from Joe Maddon's press conference today. He said that he thinks that his team is playing tight and that they need to loosen up. And this from our buddy Tony Andracki. Maddon said he plans on sticking with Rizzo as the Cubs' leadoff hitter indefinitely. When Zobrist gets back to the starting lineup, he will hit in the middle of the order. Zobrist is at the top of the lineup today. We will have Cubs pregame for you starting at 2:30. All right, listen, I promised you some media stuff, but I just think that we've run out of show for me to really do the segment justice. So I promise you, I'm going to keep this one. I promise you on Tuesday, we'll go full-fledged on Marquee and WGN and the conversations that I had with Dan Rohn and Jeff Agrest, okay? I just want to be able to give it the time that it deserves, and I'm already running out of the show, and there's a lot more stuff that I want to do, like this. This morning, I put my car in the shop this morning, so I was around, like, taking the train, and I felt like a real commuter. I had never really taken the Blue Line before, and I, like, took the Blue Line today. I was like, yeah! Pyah! And I was listening to Mully and Haw. They did a really good breakdown of the Bears-Broncos game. Now, here's the thing, and people sometimes forget this. Both these guys are beat reporters. Like, they both had their run of covering the Bears, and they both did a really good job of it when they were working every day for the Tribune. As a fan of the Mully and Haw show, football season is my favorite season to listen to them, because they get into in-depth conversations like this about the upcoming game.
I think what's interesting about this game is that Vic Fangio, can he play dime package? I mean, think about their defensive backfield, right? They got Chris Harris and pretty much nothing else. The Packers upgraded their defensive backs and were better than maybe expected. I don't think Denver, from what I saw in that first game anyway, I don't think they could, even if they wanted to, they can't match
they couldn't.
Up.
They don't have the personnel.
Right.
Which is interesting, because then you get to the point where, okay, if you don't have the personnel, what do you do if you're Vic Fangio? Well, right. Vic Fangio has been in this situation more often
than not in his
career.
Yes, he has.
So you figure out a way. That's what scares you almost, because if you sit back and you got the Bears personnel and you're coming at a team with four pass rushers, and you just sit back and you use your conventional attacking defense, that's hard to stop because of the personnel. But also it can be hard to combat if you don't have the personnel and you're scheming your way to the quarterback. That's what's about Sunday, is that the Broncos don't have the personnel to match up with the Bears. But if they can find a way to confuse the young quarterback that looks like he's easily confused.
Is he a young quarterback? I mean, isn't he a third-year starter? He's a third-year starter,
he reminded
right?
you this week at the podium how young he is.
I'm just saying, are we giving him – you know, we're throwing out his first season in the NFL because that was, you know, that was that John Fox thing and they were running the – that doesn't count. It's really his second year because it's only his second year in this team.
He's 25. I mean, how much longer are we going to call him a young quarterback?
Kevin,
look at the great quarterbacks in the league. By year
but he
three,
only played,
you know what you have.
He only played 1 year in college, right? He only had the one season as a starter.
Guys, I'm calling him a young quarterback because he hasn't earned the right yet to call him anything else.
Yeah.
You saw how he behaved the other day when posed a question that he should have answered or dismissed or had something other than, hey, I'm going to tell you what I was told not to answer. And that's ridiculous.
And
that, to me, says youth.
I don't want to hit the panic button or anything, but I think we sit here and we talk about, we look at the Bears and we look at the great defensive performance, and the coaches come out anyway and they tell you, hey, you know, Khalil Mack was fantastic. The numbers, don't look at the numbers. Don't worry about that because that he had a great game and he affected everything around him. You know, what he didn't have was the strip sacks, right? What you didn't have were the takeaways that you had a year ago that you need if you're going to win the way the Bears play. So we sit there and we say, well, Mack's going to have a much better game. Mm-hmm. They got a statue as a quarterback. The Bears' pass rush is going to go crazy. Okay, conversely, Denver's pass rush, they've got Von Miller and Bradley Chubb, neither of whom had a very good outing in the first game.
And both
now
of them
they're going home.
Could be game wreckers.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
In their
what
own
if,
respect.
What if those guys, what if the Bears' offensive line problems carry over to another game? What if those guys end up blowing up a game, or if they end up being single blocked? And I'm not hitting the panic button. I'm just saying we look at things through a straw. Our myopathy is crazy when it comes to talking about the Bears. You know, we just assume that team's crap because they lost to Oakland in Oakland. They're going home. The coach, come on. What are you worried about? This, guys, if you don't win this game, your season, you start out with a ruined season. Now you're playing catch up for the rest of the year.
It's a very good point about the Bronco defense, because you point out those edge rushers, and if your offensive line does not raise its level of play, you're in a world of hurt. And I think that you're reminded just how fragile things are when you think of back to the Bears. They had prepared so much for this game, so much for this season. And then what happened on the first pass play? Didn't Blake Martinez come untouched to sack Trubisky?
Mm-hmm. Right.
How does that happen? Okay, with a veteran offensive line, with a guy making his 28th NFL start.
The running back didn't pick up the blitz or something, right? Well, wasn't there an excuse made about that?
There was an excuse made about that. There's been an excuse made about the field goal. There's been complaints.
Explanation, not
okay.
excuses.
Explanation, finger pointing. There's been a lot that's been said that probably should have been said since the Bears lost that game. They need to play. They need to win. They need to figure it out. And I don't know that's going to be – I think that they have a huge personnel advantage. But the only reason that you don't discount the Broncos is because of how we started this conversation. Are they coached better and smarter?
Listen, we want to talk about good, fun things with the Bears, but we haven't been given that opportunity. So hopefully that opportunity comes and we can do that starting on Monday. But we're not going to, you know, sugarcoat it or Pollyanna the whole thing.
We spent the last 8 months talking about good things
That's
about
right.
the Bears.
That's right. So,
come on.
I love that. I really enjoyed that conversation. I love hearing those guys be in their element, talking about all the things that everyone else is talking about. When it comes to this team, and they do it in a very intelligent way. The bottom of the hour is being brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The 2019 Western Conference champion Chicago Wolves open the AHL season on Saturday, October 5th against Grand Rapids. To get your tickets, visit chicagowolves.com or call 1-800-THE-WOLVES. I have some more stuff that I want to say about this particular matchup and some of the things that concern me. You've heard some of it throughout the show today and different people that I've talked to. And Chris Emmer will get his final report before the Bears take on the Broncos. We'll do that next here on The Score. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The 2019 Western Conference champion Chicago Wolves open the AHL season on Saturday, October 5th against Grand Rapids. To get your tickets, visit chicagowolves.com or call 1-800-THE-WOLVES. I'm going to let you hear Chris Emma's final report from the locker room at Halas Hall in just a second. You heard me talking with Alex Brown about the altitude. Tony, you ever run or walked in altitude?
No.
Campy, you've been to Denver, right?
I have.
It
matters.
I think that it's a real thing.
100%.
Now, I've gone a little bit higher than Denver. Santa Fe, Flagstaff. Flagstaff, I think, is 7,200 feet. And I went on a 6-mile hike. And I usually would stay around here 5 or 6 miles or so. And you feel it. It messes with you. I'm concerned about that. And here's the reason that I'm concerned about it as it has to do with the Bears. I don't think that Joe Flacco can beat the Bears down the field. I don't. I just don't think that he's that quarterback anymore. The guy with the big arm that takes the big risk. I don't think that they're going to allow him to take too many shots down the field. The reason that I brought up the Miami game when I was talking with Alex is because of the style of play that they used in that game. And who would know better about the style of play used in that game to beat them than Vic Fangio? What did Brock Osweiler do? And correct me if I'm wrong on this. Has Brock Osweiler beaten the Bears with 3 different teams? He's beaten them with Denver. He's beaten them with Miami. Didn't he beat them with Houston too?
Yes.
That's bad. Anyway, if anyone would know, it would be Vic Fangio on how they went side to side. Now, Miami had more dynamic receivers once they got the ball in their hands than the Broncos do right now. But Emmanuel Sanders can get loose. And even a pass out to Phillip Lindsay, he's a guy who can get loose and make trouble for you. So my concern is if they are chasing them sideline to sideline, along with the heat and the altitude, could that be a formula for Denver to win the game if they play well defensively? To me, it sets up as if they can't win unless their defense turns the Bears over and gives Joe Flacco short fields. That's the only way on paper I see it happening. But the Bears' offense has not been good, and it hasn't just been – we're not just talking about Green Bay. And I know that folks think that the conversation about Mitchell Trubisky is about what happened last week. It's not. The conversation about Matt Nagy is not just about what happened last week. It's about what's happened since week 11. Since week 11, the Bears have averaged under 19 points a game. Before that, they were averaging 30 points a game under Nagy. There's a difference in the way that they are being defended and the way that they are reacting to it. So if they can't get some of that stuff figured out, bum teams like Denver are going to end up being in games with them that they shouldn't. And if they can play side to side, if they can make the Bears have to use all of their rotation of defensive linemen and all of their rotation of linebackers, it could be a hard day for the Bears. I don't think that that's what's going to happen. I think that they're just better than Denver. But if it were to happen, that's the way that I think it would happen. All right. Our final report from our guy, Chris Emma. He covers the Bears for us at 670thescore.com. He is our eyes and ears up at Halas Hall. He files this report about their Friday practice.
Bears turned the page from their opening loss and are now looking to get into the win column. Sunday in Denver brings the Bears a chance to bounce back. And for the defense, it's an opportunity to show something more. Here's Akeem Hicks.
I think that our defense is and can be even more dominant. We just got to prove it.
As for Matt Nagy's offense, the challenge Sunday will be facing a defensive-minded Vic Fangio who knows well the strengths and weaknesses of the scheme. After a week of reflecting and regrouping, the Bears feel confident in quarterback Mitchell Trubisky and what the offense can do. Nagy also came to appreciate the unity he saw between the offense and defense.
The type of people that we have, I mean, they don't care. They're like, we got you. We know that there's some growing pains here as we go, and they understand that. So when you have that, there's going to probably be a game this year, believe it or not, where where our defense struggles and we offensively got to pick them up. I know it's been a lot of the other way in the past year and first game here, but that time will come. And so that's why you never start pointing fingers, because you just never know when your time's coming. And they've been really, really good with that. And that's something that we really never really have to worry about.
Bears nose tackle Eddie Goldman was held out of practice Thursday due to an oblique injury he suffered a day earlier. Tight end Trey Burden remains limited in practice with a groin injury. Final injury designations will be revealed later Friday afternoon. Follow me on Twitter at CMS670. Log on to 670thescore.com for my Tailgater column, which focuses on Nagy, Trubisky, and a harsh reality check for the Bears. Plus, check out predictions from our 670 The Score team of personalities. That's all on 670thescore.com.
Chris Emma, thank you very much. So, officially on the Bears injury list for this game, Eddie Goldman is listed as questionable. So is Trey Burton and Bilal Nichols and Nick Kwiatkowski, too.
Is your business...
It's not. Trey Burton will be a game-time decision, as Matt Nagy has said, for the last week. Back after this on The Score.
Bye-bye. Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
Huge thanks to Alex Brown. Big thanks to JJ Stankovitz, who's going to be joining me every Friday before the Bears play on Sunday. After the game is over Sunday night, NBC Sports Chicago, I'll be there along with Alex, Lance, Olin, Matt Forte. It's going to be a good time. We're going to do a good, strong show. Win or lose, we got you covered on the football after show. Thanks to Tony Gill. Thanks to Rick Camp. The guys are busting there. I can't even explain to you how much stuff I threw at my crew today, and they busted their ass to get me everything that I wanted on the show and some of the stuff that we left on the cutting room floor. So big thanks to those guys for doing their jobs and doing their jobs really, really well. It's not very long that Danny Parkins has to go, but he still has to go up until 2:30. He is here now to take you the rest of the way. Hello, Danny.
Hello, Lawrence. Yeah, should be able to handle this very short flight. Me, Tanny, and Shep. Mac will be back on Monday. This is it's an odd feeling for Bears fans for a week two game, because I've been thinking about this most of the morning. It's obviously bigger for the team in that they need to win, but I would take Mitch Trubisky playing really well in a loss. Like, it would, in an odd way, that would feel better for the big picture.
Kind of like the first half of the Packers game last season, the first one,
yeah,
where the offense was like looking really good and they lost the game, but you go, oh wow, like there's some cool new stuff that the Bears can do.
Yeah, it wouldn't feel good, because 90% of teams since 2007 that start 0-2 miss the playoffs. So obviously it's bigger for the team. You want the team to win. The team can win in spite of Mitch Trubisky. But what we were talking about last week was the idea of worst case scenario now being in play for the Bears in terms of the big picture. Like, they built this thing, but they don't have the quarterback. I'd love for that feeling to go away after this game.
Yes, because what's happened in the 10 days since the game,
yeah,
has been a real examination of the Bears as an organization that is not flattering.
Well, no, it's not only is it not flattering, it's just, it makes you think, like, bad thoughts. It makes you think and having a bunch of self-doubt. Like, okay, I think that they're grooming Trubisky to be their version of Carson Wentz or their version of Jared Goff. And if you watch games and you think, oh, is he actually going to be our version of Marcus Mariota or Ryan Tannehill? It's a disaster.
Well, I wouldn't say flat-out disaster, because I still think, and the guys that you use, they haven't won anything. But I think that you can win with a quarterback like that, but your defense has to be great, and you have to take the ball away at the rate that you took it away last year, which already you're already behind.
Yeah, but you can't win at a sustainable rate with those guys. You could win one Super Bowl, which would be amazing, and we would all take it.
It would be great if they won one Super Bowl.
Oh, of course, and I'm not saying that it wouldn't be, but the plan here is that coach, GM, and quarterback are in place for sustainable success for the next decade. Like, that's the hope that I think a lot of us came into this season with.
I think that the last 10 days have given us some pause on just not the quarterback front.
I'm with you. We talked about this last Friday, so I guess 1 week ago today. I still am as confident basically as ever in Matt Nagy. I'd be shocked if he was bad. He had a horrible game, and he's had multiple horrible moments in big spots that make you question it.
Did you play the sound of him with the Trubisky explanation?
It was yesterday. So no, I didn't have a show yesterday.
Tony, can you find the Nagy sound that we used in the rundown today? Because a lot of people are saying, look, that he sounded like Trestman,
yeah,
when he said it, and it was weird, because it didn't really fit under what he is. Tanny, you got it? All right, you just listened to him explaining why Mitch was not told by him that he couldn't answer questions about Green Bay.
I was told that, and then I was told that he said that, and so to clear that up, I think that was a taken the wrong way. First of all, that wasn't. He's being told so much stuff right now in regards to next play mentality,
yeah.
Right? That's what we worry about. So I don't know exactly what was said in regards to how what he said. I didn't watch it or see what he said other than what you just said, that he's saying that he was told not to. Yeah, so, well, I can tell you that. Let me just tell you this. It didn't come from me, okay? So what I'm trying to get to is that I think the message within our building, not just to him but to everybody, is we're moving on. We got to worry about what's up next. Didn't something happen over training camp? Remind me what it was, where you guys thought he said something about sweeping the sheds or cleaning up like the didn't you guys say like he ended up saying something about, you asked him how he's going to get better as a quarterback, and he's going to keep his locker clean, right? See, he's very honed into when he hears something, you know, that's what. So to me, that's how I took it.
Not great.
I haven't heard any of that.
Yeah.
I didn't hear all of it. I heard a lot about most of it, but what I did hear, I did not hear any of that.
Yeah, that's all time. It's all time nonsense. What I will say is, that explanation, as befuddling as it was in terms of how he delivered it, is what most of us thought happened, right? That the message inside the building was, we're on to Denver, 24-hour rule, don't look past, look forward. And so a PR...
I caught zero logic in all that. And that last bit, pure gibberish.
Pure gibberish.
Hillbilly gibberish.
And so, listen, I am hoping and I expect this to be one small blip on the overall radar that is Matt Nagy and Mitch Trubisky's relationship. But that was not a very good explanation from my favorite Bears coach of my life.
No, that was
rough.
The struggle was real.
Yes, it was. Peanuts and Cracker Jack. Like sometimes he struggles.
Sometimes he does.
Sometimes he struggles. You're right. There are questions about more than the quarterback. But I personally am the most skeptical of the quarterback than I've ever been. And so that is the thing I think that matters most right now. Because this defense is absolutely good enough to lead them to a 10-win season with Trubisky doing not much of anything. We just saw him last year do it to 12. Tougher schedule, not taking teams by surprise. But Matt Nagy doesn't want to do that. That's what I'm going to spend a little bit of time with today. If they win, how do they win? Do they win by protecting Mitch Trubisky and keeping him like under 20 pass attempts, like he's Kirk Cousins or some like in case of emergency break glass guy?
But you know what? If you look at Kirk Cousins' efficiency in games where he does have lower attempt totals, he's super efficient in those games.
Absolutely.
And I think that that's not a terrible way to go if you don't think that Mitch has a ceiling as high as maybe you thought it was earlier in his development.
That's absolutely true, but it still will make you recalibrate everything you think about the organization because your general manager picked the guy over two guys who you don't need to have with training wheels. They traded up to get him. How good everything
And that
else
was after giving the $20 million to the quarterback who's now the backup in Oakland.
Yeah, listen, we can rehash that all we want. Like that one,
to me, it's part of it. It's part of the quarterback evaluation by the general manager.
It was 1 year that doesn't hamstring you long-term for financial success.
So I know.
But anybody that was going to be that team's quarterback that was available would have been bad. McCown would have been bad. Any of them would have been bad. Some of them would have cost less money, but it still would have been 1 year of money that didn't impact your salary cap when you were ready to win.
I still think that when you heard some of the things that Ryan Pace said about his scouting of Mike Glennon and talking about how he loved him in college, I can't let that. Those things to me are forever connected if Mitch is not good, because those are back-to-back your quarterback choices as a GM. And if they're both bad, that means the GM can't evaluate quarterbacks.
Right. There wasn't a good quarterback option on a one-year deal at that point. He had a plethora.
But there were better options for lesser.
No question. Oh, he missed, obviously, on Glennon. It's just not a crippling miss because it's only a one-year thing. I'm just worried that the Bears are now in a situation where they're going to be trying to win in spite of their quarterback when we're supposed to be at a point where they're winning because of him.
I'm still not there yet. And you know I'm not the biggest Mitch fan. I don't think that we're there yet. I think that he's going to bounce back on Sunday. I'm hopeful that he bounces back on Sunday, because if he doesn't.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I'm not there yet either, but that's why the first thing I said to you is, in a weird way, it's almost as important as Mitch play well that they win, so that we don't have that conversation.
And then you start looking at the percentages of teams that make the playoffs that start 0-2.
Yeah, 90% of them miss.
Bad, bad, bad. All right, you got stuff to do and not a lot of time to do it, so I'm going home.
All right, see you, Lawrence. Have a good weekend.
Your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.